Today on EdgeFX.
Well, if you know anything about a mallard duck, where the young ones are fledged, where they're learning to fly, they come back to the same place. And that's pretty much the analogy I would use. This is where we learned to fly, and we wanted to come back, and we did.
Sociologist Amanda McMillan-Lecue reports from Iron County, Wisconsin, where the population has cratered since mines started closing in the second half of the 20th century. But Lecue finds that even for far-flung former residents, the attachments to the landscapes of their youth are as strong as ever, and some of the county's distant children are migrating home.
It's no surprise that Iron County, Wisconsin is famous for its iron. In the first half of the 20th century, more than 300 million tons of ore left the Gogebic Range for steel mills across the country. As with so much of American industry, between 1962 and 1990, the iron and copper mining companies that employed thousands in both Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan closed. As iron left Iron County, work became hard to come by and many people moved away. But many stayed, and every year, hundreds of people returned to Iron County for reunions and heritage festival events. So even though there have been economic hardships in this region, people are proud to call it home. This past summer, I set out on a project to gather stories of Iron County, from the memories of what it once was, to the hard times as the mines closed, to its possible future. At the Heritage Festival in July and August 2016, I talked with more than 30 long-term residents and out-of-town visitors. I set up an oral history booth with a microphone and recorder at open houses and class reunions in the county fair. I first asked folks to tell me their earliest memories, to help me picture what this region was like when iron mining was at its peak. At the Iron County Historical Society open house, I spoke with Gardy LaMarche, Hurley class of 1972. He currently teaches naval science at a magnet school in St. Paul, but he comes back as often as possible to visit friends and family in the region. He remembers a Hurley that looked and sounded very different than the one we see today.
I grew up on 4th, also on Maple Street. Those are the two houses we lived in. Lived just a block from the railroad tracks on 4th Avenue, so my earliest recollections were of the ore trains going through, and my brother and I used to sit on the little hillside looking down at the trains and watching them go through, and that was constant all day long. The ore trains just ran, and they would run throughout the night, and after a while, they were just part of growing up. We didn't really notice them so much unless you happen to get stuck behind one, trying to get home from lunch, from school or trying to get back to school if you got stuck behind one. And the teachers knew that if you were late coming back from lunch, you were probably stuck behind the train that was 200 cars long. So we were forgiven.
The 50s and 60s were a really good time for this area. Other folks told me about the dress shops, shoe stores, bars, and restaurants lining Silver Street, about cruising Hurley and Ironwood with high school friends on a Friday night, and about cooking up favorite traditional Polish, Italian, Cornish, or Finnish foods with grandparents. In all these stories, things changed when the mines closed. Ron Mackey's experience summed up many of the changes people of Iron County felt in the 1960s.
1962, the Montreal mine closed. And the governor at the time said, well, the people will just have to move and reestablish themselves, sell their homes. And, well, the only problem was, who are you going to sell your home to? Your neighbor who had one for sale, But what happened, many of them moved to Kenosha. American Motors hired everyone from the Montreal mine.
Like so many men who lost their mining jobs, Ron's dad commuted 5 hours south to Kenosha during the work week.
But working at Kenosha was altogether different, doing the same thing over and over. They weren't used to that. So even though they worked underground in the mine, he was 48 or so. It's hard to readjust.
As many families decided to move in search of work, folks back in Hurley had to readjust too. Hurley today is so different from Hurley several decades ago. Let's hear again from Gardy.
The thing about Hurley back then is I walk the streets now and they're quiet. When I was a kid, there were kids everywhere. We had the largest graduating classes from Hurley in the late 60s and through about the mid 70s. And the classes would have been even larger had the mines not closed in the late 50s, early 60s. Mm-hmm. So many of our friends moved away. I went to St. Mary's School. I think the folks that went to Southside and Montreal and Saxon and Upson and all these other places would tell you the same thing, that classmates just started moving away and the classes grew smaller and smaller.
I heard a similar story when I stopped by Sharon's Cafe to visit with Melanie Ellerson and her friend Sherry. These women were classmates in Montreal when the mine shut down. This is Melanie.
And like Sherry and I were talking, I said, I remember going to the Montreal school, and little by little we were losing classmates because they were all moving away, you know, and then our class size got down to really small, and it was all because of the mine.
Melanie's entire family felt the repercussions of her dad losing his mining job.
And my dad struggled to find work after that. I mean, he tried everything from selling vacuum cleaners to insurance to, you know, just to help out. And my brothers had to leave home when they were 18. And one brother went off to college. He was lucky enough to do that. So, but they always sent home money, you know, to take care of the rest of us. And yeah, it was rough times.
Melanie's family made it through, though Melanie did move away to find work. But last year, she and her husband returned to Guile to move into her parents' house. She is part of a growing trend of recent retirees who are coming back to live in Iron County. For a place that has faced a lot of economic hardships, it sure has a hold on so many people's hearts. And although natives of Iron County have dispersed across the country, there's still something special about this place, even just to visit. At the All Clash reunion, Bill Ritchie put it like this.
Well, if you know anything about a mallard duck, where the young ones are fledged, where they're learning to fly, they come back to the same place. And that's pretty much the analogy I would use. This is where we learned to fly, and we wanted to come back, and we did.
During the Iron County Heritage Festival, I ended all my conversations with one question. What do you dream for Iron County? Here's Joan Thompson-Voveda's answer.
I would hope for some economic development so that the young people will see that they can come back, that they can have jobs, you know, because it's a beautiful area and it's such a good area to raise kids and be here, a lot of recreation. And I would hope that they'd have enough economy to draw young peoples and young families, so that they would come and stay. This is like a jewel up here, but you've got to have something for people to do, to work at.
Almost everyone shared Joan's desire to see more economic activity in Iron County. But still, so many people are proud to call this place home. At the county fair, I watched two local business owners compete to buy a pie for $700, all to support the 4-H clubs. At the All Clash reunion, so many out-of-towners told me that they still subscribe to the Daily Globe and minor newspapers. And at the Historical Museum, dozens of visitors shared stories of Montreal, Saxon, Iron Belt, and Hurley throughout the years. Here's Bill Ritchie again.
An enormous amount of pride in this community. Enormous.
Yes.
For sure. You'd be surprised if you've been around the United States at all. How many states you can go to, and you meet people, and it questions, oh, where are you from? Well, I'm from a little place in Wisconsin called Hurley. Oh, Hurley, really? It's amazing, amazing.
So beyond the numbers and economic challenges, it's clear to me that Iron County's future is in its people.
That was Amanda McMillan-Lecue, PhD candidate in sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Learn more about her research at Amanda McMillan-Lecue, that's LEQUIEU.com. You've been listening to Edge Effects. a production of CHE, the Center for Culture, History, and Environment in the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Today's episode was produced by Amanda McMillan-LeCue, with special thanks to the Iron County Historical Society and the Ira and Neville Riley Baldwin Wisconsin Idea Endowment. The music you're listening to is by Julian Lynch. I'm Brian Hamilton, Managing Editor of EdgeFX. We'll be back in June when Neil Marr sits down with historian of science Lisa Ruth Rand to preview his brand new history of the space race, Apollo in the Age of Aquarius, out now from Harvard University Press. Get that and every episode sent straight to your computer or mobile device by subscribing to the EdgeFX podcast in the iTunes Store. You can also find us on Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you like the show, please leave us a rating and a review to help others find us. And as always, keep up with the steady flow of great content about cultural and environmental change across the full sweep of human history at edgefx.net.